Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 87 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Matt.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. And as you can see or hear, if you're listening to the audio version, I have a new co-host this week.
Yeah, just for this week. Seth is busy at the Fringe Festival. I think he reviews every show, every single show they have there. So he's like day to night busy until it's over. But I'm Matt, the owner and editor and publisher of Attractions Magazine, filling in tonight, trying to fill Seth's shoes.
He texted me before the show and was like, good luck without me.
Yeah. Thanks, Seth.
I'll try not to burn the house down or anything. But how has your week been so far? I feel like I get to catch up with Seth every week, but this is our first catch up in a minute.
It's been good. Of course, you know, we'll talk about it. The main attraction tonight, some big news. So I've been out to the parks checking that out. And we're working on our cover, or working on our whole issue for our summer issue. And our main cover story is going to be Velocicoaster. Ooh. And I got a certain shot in mind of what I want for the coaster shot, and it's not easy to get. So I've been out there a couple of times. I made my way all the way back there. I had to go at a certain time of the day, so the sun's just right. I made my way all the way back there, and the ride shut down.
No.
And then it opened back up, and like four cars went through, and I'm changing settings at each shot, and then it shut down again. So I'm still in search of that shot. But how's your week been?
My week has been good. Josh is back from his second shoot on his documentary, and we've just been hanging out at home. I've been reading a lot, and that's really it. That's not super exciting. I got to watch Cruella.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that later. Nice. But it's been good, kind of chill.
I was going to say, is Josh's documentary top secret still?
Yes, top secret still. He actually is going to be back in Orlando for a single day next week. and then I had, he was there when Velocicoaster softed, and I was so jealous because I knew he wouldn't go ride it. And I wanted to so bad.
He doesn't like the big coasters, right?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm so jealous of you right now.
He should have sent you instead. You could have done whatever he had to do.
Yeah, I can ask questions and set up a camera. I can do that.
That's your job.
Yeah. I'll try to weasel my way into one of his upcoming trips, maybe. Or maybe come down in the fall when it's a little less hot. And
surprisingly, the weather's been pretty nice this past week. It was a high of like 82, which is great for this time of year. It's normally in the 90s. And then in the morning and evening, there's been really nice breezes. So come tomorrow.
Sure. I'll pack my bags and hop a plane in the morning.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Without any further ado, let's get into the news. And we are kicking things off this week, just like we did last week, with some Harlem Globetrotters news, except with some ZZ Top sprinkled on. Both of these extremely large names will be performing at Wild Adventures Theme Park in Valdosta, Georgia.
Yeah, I've never been. When Cypress Gardens, part of Legoland, was its own theme park, Cypress Gardens, I believe it was a sister park to this park. But then it, you know, of course, Legoland bought it out. But I've never been up to Georgia to go to this park. But who knew that Harlem Globetrotters would be at the top of our news two weeks in a row.
They're booked and busy. I never thought I would see ZZ Top performing at a theme park ever. But I bet that's going to be a lot of fun for whoever decides to go. If you are in that area, the Globetrotters are performing on July 9th and 10th, and they'll do 3 shows a day. And then ZZ Top will perform only on July 31st. And those performances are included with your admission, so you don't have to pay extra. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, I've seen the Globetrotters a few times, and they're always, it's always entertaining. It's not like watching a regular basketball game, of course. They play a real game against a local team, but it's not a real game, but they act like they're playing a real game against a real local team, but they just show them up, and the other team can't keep up with them. But and then I also saw ZZ Top one time. I think it was in Tropicana Field in Tampa. It was like baseball game, and when the baseball game was over, ZZ Top came out and played.
Huh. So
that was cool.
I would like to see the Globetrotters play a game against ZZ Top.
I'm sure the Beards would have something to do with it.
Maybe they like tie them up, like put them in a little bun or something. Over in New York, Harry Potter New York, the flagship Wizarding World store, it's literally 3 floors of magical merchandise, will have New York's only Butterbeer bar, which wow. is very cool. They will also have the bottled Butterbeer that was previously only available to those of us that are Potter fans in the UK. The same exact ones, except with one collectible label that will be exclusive to this location.
I wonder, because in the UK one, I remember when it came out, people were wanting to know, will they ship it? And I think they did ship it in the UK only.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you can have one of these shipped from New York to wherever you are in the United States.
I would love to know that as well. Yeah. I just want to see this place.
Yeah, it sounds cool. It said what bottles like moving around behind the bar or above the bar or something.
Yeah, if you're watching the video version, you can kind of see a picture. We have some pictures of the bar itself. There's a really cool stained glass sign up above the door. There are bottles floating in like this kind of wave type fixture. And they will serve regular Butterbeer. I think they have Butterbeer ice cream, the bottled. I believe they have draft as well. And they come in these goblets that are similar to the ones at the parks, but they have a different label, which is really neat.
Yeah, I think it's the American version of the Wizarding World, whatever. I forget what it's called. But
Makuza.
Yeah. And yeah. then they also have Butterbeer ice cream, which it said will be scooped, which is a little different than the soft serve ice cream they have here. So that's interesting.
It opens on June the 3rd, and it's 21,000 square feet. So if you're dying to have a unique magical experience, please go to this for me, because I don't know when I'll be able to go to New York. We've been talking about taking a trip now that Broadway has started to like release dates for shows to come back. Yeah, we'll talk
about that in a little bit. But and I'd like to send a reporter to the opening of this place. So I need to reach out to our freelance reporters in the area, see if any of them are available. If you're a freelance reporter and you live in the New York area,
let me know. I would do it if I lived in the New York area.
For half a second, I was like, maybe I'll fly up for it myself.
Good. Ivana Lynch might show up. She was the first patron of this Butterbeer bar.
Cool.
Over at SeaWorld Orlando, Viva La Musica, their Latin-inspired festival, started back up again on May 15th, and it will run on Saturdays and Sundays through the 23rd.
So that started this weekend. I didn't even realize it was happening. I mean, I saw this headline in our website, but I didn't realize. I didn't see many people posting from there today, but I checked out their app. Actually has a list of all the different foods that they have there, and it looks really good.
That's cool. What kind of?
Well, there's one, you know, Cubano sliders, lots of ropavilla, seafood paella, veggie paella. Ooh. This one sounded really good to me, but then I started reading the description and it sounded a little weird. It's dolce de leche empanadas. So it says it's empanadas stuffed with caramel and queso. Queso's cheese, right?
Yeah.
Caramel and cheese together? I don't know.
I haven't had dulce de leche in a long time. Yeah. I don't recall it having like savory queso in it. Maybe, I don't know, in an empanada too. That just sounds, because when I think of empanadas, I think of like savory flavors.
Yeah, that was one of the weird ones that might, was probably one of those weird ones that's really good. But there's all kinds of mojitos and tequilas and all kinds of different things. So I'm definitely going to try and head out there maybe next weekend.
Yeah, you'll have to try that empanada. Now I'm curious.
Yeah.
Over at Legoland Florida, they have announced a new 4D movie for the Funtown Theater called Lego Mythica Journey to Mythica, which ties into the new themed land over at Legoland Windsor Resort.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. Yeah, it's interesting because I don't know about much about Mythica, except that I knew that a land was coming to a different Legoland, and now here in Florida, we're getting a part of it with just a 4D movie. So interesting. Over in the land over in the UK, it seems like it's kind of like Lego Movie World, where they have a flying theater, but instead of themed to the flying couch, it's this Mythica. So it sounds interesting. It sounds like it's, I think I read that they polled a bunch of kids to decide what would be in the land.
Yeah, they did. And they got to pick some of the names of things. Alongside this 4D movie release, they also have an augmented reality scavenger hunt, which I think is super neat. Guests will be able to use the Legoland Florida app to find the various creatures from the 4D film. And save Mythica by inspiring kids to create again, is what they said. It's in Miniland.
Kids ever stop creating, but
yeah, I guess that's cool. What you got to do to, yeah. There are 7 hidden Lego Mythica creatures in Miniland, and this guests have to capture them as digital trading cards that reveal their true magical forms in order to free them. This will be a limited time thing, so Miniland is reopening as they prepare for that shade structure that they announced a while back, but it will close once this offering is up.
Okay. So the shade isn't up yet. I haven't been there in a while, but...
No.
That'll be nice once that's done.
Oh, yeah, and definitely will help preserve those structures as well. Speaking of Broadway, that we alluded to earlier, Disney on Broadway has started announcing return dates for The Lion King and Aladdin. Rest in peace, Frozen the musical. The Lion King will return to the Minskoff Theater on September 14th, and Aladdin will resume at the New Amsterdam Theater on September 28th. Seems like September 14th is the return date for a lot of shows, including Hamilton and Wicked.
Yeah, that's exciting. It's been a long time that I can't even imagine, being in New York without, going to see a show. And that's crazy. And then I think they said some touring versions are going around as well. They're going to start back up. So maybe we'll get one here in Orlando. Maybe someone will come to Austin.
Yeah, I bought a season pass for the 2021-22 touring season, and we didn't get Frozen, but we got Hamilton because they couldn't reschedule Frozen. I think you are getting Frozen though.
Okay.
I would check.
So. Yeah, I think so. I think I read that. Yeah.
The Lion King will also be touring. I think that's on the package that I have. And there will also be international productions of 5 titles will be among the 20 plus Disney theatrical productions, resuming performances in 9 countries across 4 continents. Wow. But I want to know what those titles are.
Yeah.
Because Beauty and the Beast has long been closed, Mary Poppins, Tarzan, Hunchback never made it to Broadway, but I would love to see them try that again. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe they're just all Lion King.
Lion King will never close. It will be going on forever. If you are a fan of Star Wars and you have some acting chops, there might be a job for you in a galaxy far, far away. Disney is holding auditions for improvisational roles on Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser.
Yeah, and this not only is a good chance for people to read this article and see what role fits them, but it gives us a good peek at what roles we'll see when we finally stay at this hotel. And it's interesting that some of the roles are fellow travelers. So since everybody's cosplaying at this hotel, do you think you won't know that the guy you've been talking to at the bar is actually an actor? You think it's just a fan who's really into the character? But
I think this is as close as we're going to get to a Westworld kind of thing. And I want to have to question every interaction I have afterward, be like, was that an actor? Or yeah, was that just someone cool. else staying at this hotel? What I love about it is that they're not all human.
Yeah.
I was so surprised. Of course, you have Rey and Kylo, but their requirements are very interesting. They have to have fight techniques, stage combat, wushu, martial arts, or hand-to-hand combat experience.
Interesting. I wonder if it's going to be Kylo with his mask off, because
good
we
luck.
Haven't seen that.
That is, I can't imagine the hoops that they have to go through to cast that role, because Adam Driver is so like singular looking. But I'm excited to see them do some hand-to-hand stuff. That's awesome.
I think you guys have talked about it on the podcast, how they did the one night during media night. Mm-hmm. I happened to be able to see that in person, and it was really cool because it led you throughout the land, and it ended them with a battle. And, you know, people comment, we have the video of it on our YouTube channel, and people comment all the time how this, you know, these fight scenes look really good. They look, you know, better than, you know, as good as the movies, some people say.
Yeah. I mean, it's stagecraft. It's so cool. I can't wait to see how they do that.
I was wondering if the battle would take place in the hotel, or would there be like some after hours thing in the land, and it would be something similar to what we saw.
That's a great question. I mean, anything is possible. We haven't seen any kind of like layout of rooms or like a blueprint of this hotel just yet. Only what we can glean from aerial footage. So maybe there's like a giant sparring room or something inside. Yeah. Or it could be on your excursion to Batuu during your stay, which is a part of the entire experience. You encounter these two and they fight.
Yeah, they just a fight breaks out while you're having dinner, and they're jumping across the tables. And
I would love that so much.
There'll be the hardcore fan that would be loving it, and then there'd be the uncle who just got brought along, and he'd be like, "Stop! I'm eating my dessert."
See, those are the ones that I would want to like people watch and pay attention to. Other characters that they're doing auditions for are those with musical abilities. And there is the first-time cruiser who is a Togruden, which if you don't know what that species is, I don't blame you. It's okay. That is the same species as Ahsoka Tano. So picture that. This guitarist is male and aspires to be the alien next door and is secretly in love with the Twi'lek pop star, who is an actor vocalist in her 30s and 40s. Twi'leks are like Hera Syndulla from Clone Wars. They look kind of like Togrudans because they have the tendrils, but they're positioned differently. But she's a singer, neo soul, jazzy, and funk musical stylings. And this made me happy and sad because it sounds a lot like kind of the dinner supper club entertainment thing that was proposed for Galaxy's Edge but got cut.
Yeah. I think there's some art in the new art of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. I think there's some art showing what that was going to be, or I think it's probably now listed as being inside the hotel, but
yeah. I'm glad the idea just didn't get thrown in the garbage, because that sounds so cool. I'm glad that they're doing something with it. In addition, you'll have a captain, like on an actual cruise ship, and they will be Pantoran. And if you don't know what a Pantoran is, They're in Clone Wars. They have blue skin but look fairly humanoid. We have a photo up on our website if you want to check it out. The one with the beard in the middle of the photo is supposed to be George Lucas, by the way. That's a small fun fact for you. And then they'll also have a cruise director who is human, a mechanic who is human, and a fixer who is human. Think of like DJ from The Last Jedi, perhaps.
Yeah, I think it was interesting. As part of the fixer's description, it said if you can do sleight of hand tricks, it's a plus. So I have a friend who's a magician. I'm like, you should try out to be the fixer.
Oh man, I hope they like pickpocket me or something. Like, take my wallet. I want to see if you can do it. There will also be a First Order lieutenant who is human, and saber trainers, athletic actors in their 20s and 30s that can be of any gender with improv abilities, and they serve as wielders of the lightsaber who educate cruisers in a physical demonstration of the saber. So that saber training remote experience we've seen concept art for a million times over, that's what that will be for, I'd imagine.
And you'll be one of the first people to be able to use that lightsaber that actually pops up.
I want to know how they use that, or if they develop it to a point where it's not just like a tape measure, and if they bend it, it falls over. If they can figure out a way to keep it upright no matter what you do with it, that's money right there.
I think they could make it a more rigid tape measure.
Yeah, you'd think. But I can't wait. I believe these are all online submissions. And I think the deadline is coming up because I had a friend who was going to submit for this. And I think the deadline is either tomorrow or sometime this coming week. So get on that.
Yeah, it's nice they have all ages too, from your 20s up to your 60s. So.
Yeah. Could you imagine being the cruise director or the captain of a space cruise?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be insane. Over in California, some good news for you Disneyland fans over there. Disney's Paradise Pier Hotel will reopen on June 15th.
Yeah, I want to go, but I can't get in the parks. So
yeah, we're still holding out.
That date is the date that they expect people to be able to go from other states. That is June 15th. So.
Oh, there you go. The Disneyland Hotel is still closed. They're doing something over there, renovations or something. But Disney's Grand Californian will be open as well. It opened earlier in April, I think. And then on the 28th of this month, Napa Rose and Storytellers Cafe will reopen.
I see Eric in the comments says, but I can visit Disneyland because
that's great.
California. So I suppose he's asking if I will pay for a room for him to cover this.
What are you saying, Eric? What are you saying? I can't wait. I stayed in Paradise Pier the one time I went to Disneyland, and it was so much fun. The beds were comfortable. We had a park view room without paying for a park view room, which was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've never stayed there, but I've walked through the lobby and checked it out. And while we just happened to be walking through, some characters were in the lobby. You know, I don't know if that's going to happen right away now, but
that
was cool.
Yeah, and then they have a Stitch, or it's Goofy's Kitchen or something like that, character dining. But
yeah.
I don't know if that will come back right away. Oh, Eric sent us thinking face emojis. I see what you're doing. And that's it for me for news in the queue, except for my thoughts on Cruella. So I did get a screener of Cruella directed by Craig Gillespie, who did I, Tonya, if you are familiar with that film. And I can say a little bit. The social embargo is up, and I'm treating this like social. So, because these words are fleeting, at least until I publish the audio version tomorrow. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. It seemed like a spiritual successor to I, Tonya in a lot of ways. You had the kind of unhinged woman that you don't really want to root for, but you kind of sympathize, I guess, in a way, with their hardships. You get to hear her innermost thoughts, just like in I, Tonya. The soundtrack is killer. It is so good. It's set in the 70s, so think like 1970s punk rock England, and that's pretty much what you're getting. It's so much fun. Emma Stone throws herself completely into this role, and she's so funny. And I thought she did really great. I was nervous, to be sure. I was hesitant about this movie. I was like, oh, the last couple Disney live actions were all right, but they weren't anything to really write home about. But Emma Stone and Emma Thompson together, whom I love everything Emma Thompson does. They are two hams, like absolute hams, just hamming it up in this movie. It's full camp. It's like if you could combine Ocean's 11 heist with The Devil Wears Prada drama and cattiness between the new young future and the old has been past. It's so much fun.
I haven't seen it yet myself. I'm looking forward to it. But one of our other reporters, Joe, got to see it. Actually, we've been seeing these movies by screeners, by watching them on our computers or our TVs through Apple TV for the past year because of the pandemic. But Joe went to actually go see it in a theater in LA. I think it was at El Capitan. And it was the first screener that they've had in an actual theater since last year. Since over a year. Unfortunately, Joe didn't like it as much as you did. He put it on par with the other live actions that have been out the past few ones. So there's two opinions for you. So
yeah.
We'll get more details from you when you get your review posted.
I really want more people to see this because I think for once it is good. I will say it, in my opinion, it is good. And it is a good Disney live action thing. I think it only benefits from being an original story. So that way you're not going into it with preconceived notions about this is what Mulan is supposed to be about. And it's supposed to be a musical and all this other.
Did you get a chance to look at some other people, other reporters, what their social media thoughts were?
I did. I scoured the hashtag Cruella thread on Twitter for a while, and it all seemed really like surprised and positive.
Good, good.
People were like, joke? I'm annoyed that I liked it so much. but just because I guess in the film Twitter space, most writers anticipate not to like these live action remakes.
Right.
But this one seemed to win across the board for most people.
Good. Maybe Joe was having a bad day.
Watch it again, Joe.
Yeah.
Watch it again or watch I, Tonya first and then watch this one and we'll see. We'll talk. And with that, let's get into the main attraction because it's big.
It's time for the main attraction.
I love that it sounds like wrestling.
The guy, I'll give everybody the scoop on who did it. My friend, the magician, should try out. He's the one that does that voice. He's starting to get into some voiceovers. He has such a deep voice. And his wrestling name is The Shocker, and he dresses with a wrestling mask.
Oh, so my it's fitting goodness.
That he did that.
That's so perfect. Well, in case you've been living under a rock, face masks are no longer required in certain areas, at certain instances, at certain parks in Central Florida. And it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. It's... some people are loving it and some people are not quite ready for it. it's interesting to see how different parks are handling it. So you have Disney where no mask is needed outdoors, whether you're vaccinated or not. You have to have it indoors and in all rides from start to finish. no matter if the ride's outdoor or not. And then Universal, basically the same thing as Disney, right? You have to, you don't need it outdoors. It doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not. All yes. the parks, everybody's gotten rid of temperature checks. And then you have SeaWorld and Busch Gardens, and this is both Busch Gardens and SeaWorld Orlando and San Antonio, where you don't need a mask at all anywhere if you're vaccinated. And they're just relying on people to say if they're vaccinated or not. So I'm not sure how well that's going to work. And then I think we just heard today, I don't know if you had a time to read it. I forwarded it to you. Kennedy Space Center is doing doing kind of a mix of those. It's masks are not needed outdoors. They are needed indoors, but you only don't need them outdoors if you're vaccinated. So kind of a mix of what Disney and SeaWorld are doing there.
Okay.
But
It's a lot. When they first started, when the CDC came out and were like, you don't need masks if you're vaccinated now, I knew that this was going to be complicated because the parks had to make the decision basically, are we going to ask people to prove that they're vaccinated or are we just going to go on what they say? And I think Fauci was the one who said, you have to trust people that they're telling the truth about it or not, which is neither here nor there. But I wish that there was some kind of thing, like an app on your phone, where you could just have your card and like double click it in your Apple wallet and it pops up or something.
Yeah, I don't want to get too political, but the government and the president said he's not going to come out with some kind of device or some kind of program or app where you can do that. So he's relying on the private companies to do it. But no, I know lots of private companies have been working on it, but none has really caught off on. It's got to be somebody big like Google or Apple to do it to really take off. And then you have the governor in Florida who says he wants to make it against the law for you to have to show it to go into a business. And the cruises are having to deal with that right now.
Yeah.
So I think the SeaWorld is said, okay, if you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask, and trusting people. And then I think Disney and Universal are like, what's the use of saying that? Because there's going to be people, not everybody, there's going to be people who are just going to, they're not vaccinated and they're just going to pretend that they are. But,
right. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, this is going to be great for the people who hate wearing the masks because they're going to say they're vaccinated whether they are or not, just so they don't have to wear them as often. But another thing that I thought about that I haven't seen people really discuss is the constant putting it on, taking it off. It kind of negates the use of it entirely, in my opinion, because you're supposed to keep them clean. And if you're constantly putting it on and taking it off, shoving it in your pocket, or if you're like me and you have a case for your mask, or if you get one of those lanyards, like glasses with the chains, they make those for masks as well, and let those hang around your neck when you're not wearing it, but then you are risking, you know, exposing it to the elements or whatever. It just seems performative and silly.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, I think once you have it on, you are kind of protecting other people if you're in line. So no matter if it's dirty or not, if you cough or whatever, it's still going to catch the majority of that. But I see your point on that. But it's interesting. I went to Disney Springs yesterday, the first day that you could have it off. And they were supposed to get rid of temperature checks actually today, and they got rid of those a day early too. So no temperature checks, no masks needed outdoors. They still have the security set up, so you still have that same pattern that you walk through the garage to get out to Disney Springs. But it goes a little quicker because you're not doing the temperature checks. And it was interesting. I took my mask off outside. I felt comfortable with it because I'm vaccinated. My wife is vaccinated, but she still didn't feel comfortable with it, so she had hers on the whole time. We went in a couple of stores. Of course, I had to put my mask on when I went in the store, and everybody was wearing them inside. We actually sat down and had lunch outside, and we each counted, we counted 100 people walking by a certain spot, and about 10 out of 100 had masks on. And I've heard people say that as the days has gone on in the theme parks, it's become even less people wearing their mask. Because I'm sure there's some people that aren't on social media and didn't pay attention and just assumed they had to wear their mask.
Yeah.
And didn't realize till they see everybody with it off. But so, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I would love to see what the parks are like now that this is a thing. Because I got to hear Josh's experience right before these rules were announced. And he said it was really hot, kind of difficult to be out at the parks all day because you're breathing into this cotton thing and it's hot. You're like your breath coming back on you is warm and it's just uncomfortable. So I would imagine visiting the parks right now is probably a lot more agreeable.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Then it was interesting. They made a point to say that, as I said earlier, you have to have your mask on in the attraction queues, no matter if the queue's indoor or out. But a friend of mine, Jose, was at Animal Kingdom, and the queue for, I think it was a safari or something, was actually so long that it went backstage a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So it went out of the normal queue. And the cast members actually told them, you don't have to put your mask on back here when you're in this part of the queue. Hmm. You only have to put it on later when you get up into the real queue. So even though they have those rules set, of course, when you get to the park, you need to follow whatever the cast members tell you at that attraction.
Yeah. And I think the rule of thumb with the parks in general, not just Disney and Universal, but across the country, I think will be that they're going to play it safe. You know, guests can wear them or not wear them in certain situations if they want to, but cast members and team members are still wearing them in all situations. And it'll likely be that way for a while, at least until more people get vaccinated and cases go down.
Yeah, the cases in Florida and just number of new COVID cases has been around, like I say, a month or so ago, it was around 5,000, and then it dropped to like 3,000. And 4,000, 3,000, went down to 2,000 something. Then it went back up to like 4 the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
But the last few days, it's been 3,000 every day, 3,000 something, which is good because it's not going back up yet. Hopefully, yeah, this doesn't cause it to start to go back up. And these are just cases. And I know there's people who have been vaccinated who've caught it, and they didn't get any symptoms. They just caught it because they were at a job where they had to do regular testing. So they're saying that is a way that this vaccination is working because yes, you have COVID, but you have no symptoms from it. So they're counting that as
a showing positive, that
the vaccinations work.
Yeah.
So you, therefore you can't just go by those numbers either. So 3,000 cases, you really need to go by deaths and hospitalizations, which I haven't checked into those to see what those are right now. I know of the 3,000 cases in Orlando or in Florida, the highest county is or Orange County with 200 and some cases. But that's probably, you know, the theme parks and people coming in from other states.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we shall see. I mean, if this only lasts for a month or two and then Disney goes back to, oh no, you have to wear masks all the time, then we'll know. But it also could get to a point where they're like, okay, you don't have to wear masks at all. You can wear them if you want to, but
yeah, I think and hope that's where we go. And I could imagine going there within a month or so, but if we do go back, like you said, and go back to having to wear them again, I think that's going to make them more cautious about getting rid of them again. So
yeah,
if we go back to having to wear them outdoors too, I think, you know, it's not going to be so quick to get rid of them again.
Yeah, I would have to take something really, like a real significant drop.
Yeah.
In order to do that. But these parks, there's so much that happens behind the scenes that we don't get to see all of these health and safety experts statewide and the country, our government at large that they converse with on these kinds of things. So that they have the experts.
Yeah. And there was also some controversy of how quickly this was all happened.
Oh, yeah. It was insanely fast.
Yeah, we had reached out to Disney and said, hey, you know, with the new CDC rules, what are you going to do? And I think it was on a weekend, so we didn't get an answer right away. And then in the middle of the night, or not the middle of the night, but in the evening, they just switched it on their website and everybody noticed it with no announcement at all, which is unusual. We got the announcement from Universal. They went ahead and alerted us right before it happened, but nothing from Disney. And I, you know, I don't know why. I don't think they're trying to hide it. There's no way you can sneak that out there and
people notice.
So it could have been just like
a last minute decision, because earlier last week we had the Q2 2021 fiscal year earnings call from Disney, and Bob Chapek said, I'll give you the gist of the quote, that they have raised capacity limits, have already started doing that. And that with the new guidance from the CDC, which was released that day on the 13th, the same day as this call, Chapek said, it's very big news for us, particularly if anybody's been in Florida in the middle of summer with a mask on. That could be quite daunting. I think you're going to see an increase in the number of folks that were able to admit to our parks through our reservation systems, basically kind of alluding without straight up saying, you know, masks are going to be gone this summer. And then a couple of days later, they announced it.
Which makes me wonder, because you wonder if some of the executives at Disney are like, why is he saying this? We haven't even studied this. And so I wonder if his comments pushed it along.
Yeah, because when I was listening in on the call, I was like, he really said that. He's like making a decision on this call right now.
Yeah.
Because previous calls with like Bob Iger, for example, he would mention it, but not go so far as to say like, oh yeah, we're going to get rid of masks very soon, I'm sure. He would just be like, that's great news for us.
You're looking into it.
So it was particularly bold of Chapek to do it like that and then kind of be the catalyst of this whole thing.
Yep. It's we'll see how it goes. I'm crossing my fingers that we're good. And well, the other thing you alluded to was increasing capacity. And I noticed some people noticed on the reservation system days that weren't available are all of a sudden available. And I don't know if they've increased capacity yet or they have a little and it'll ramp up. I haven't heard the parks being more crowded than usual. So we'll see how that goes.
The last percentage I think that they shared was 35%. Yeah. So I wonder how incrementally they'll increase. Like, will it be 5 to 10%? Are we going to jump straight to 50? Because at some point you're going to have to expect the parks to get back to 100%.
Yeah, and that's goes back to the whole thing when they first announced this. So I think we had this discussion. 100%. is a full park where they have to close the doors. They hardly ever get to 100%. So they can say we're at 100%, meaning we're letting as many people as we can into the park, but that doesn't mean the park is 100% full. So it's, you know, the average summer day, you know, what percentage full does the Magic Kingdom get? It's the most popular theme park in the world. I would say, 70% maybe is a busy day at the park, you know?
When I worked at Pirates League, we would get guest counts in our morning meetings. And I think Magic Kingdom's capacity is 99,000 people.
That sounds about right.
And they would estimate anywhere from like 60-something to 89. And I think 89 was the highest we ever heard.
So 89 would be equivalent to 90% full of the theme park.
Yeah,
and when I worked years ago, worked in PhotoPass, and I'd see those numbers as well. And you'd see that number and know, oh my gosh, 80,000, it's going to be a really busy day.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on it for sure. But this next period for the parks is definitely going to be interesting, if anything else.
Yeah, if any of you go out to the parks, let us know. Tweet at us at attractions or send us a message and let us know if it looks busier to you or, you know, how mask abuse has been.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep us posted. You're our eyes on the ground.
Yeah. And then, Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's, and all these rules we just talked about with the masks and everything are not Disneyland, not California. Yeah. So they're being more cautious of that as they've been the whole time. So that's another thing. When will they, you know, the CDC made these announcements for the whole United States.
Yeah.
But so far, nothing out of California as far as masks.
And then for California as well, they're allowed to let out-of-state visitors come to the parks if they want to, but Disneyland still isn't. That's Universal right. Hollywood is, but there's a few hoops you have to jump through, mainly just buying your tickets in person at the gate. Mm-hmm. And then I think SeaWorld has always done that, but they're kind of doing their own thing over there.
Yep.
And before we go, I have some listener thank yous to share. Yay! In case you didn't know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription service. And if you choose the club or VIP tier when you sign up, the week after you join us, you get a shout out on the podcast. So without any further ado, big applause to Sam Mattson, Nicholas Gist, Jimmy Williams, and Pam Kraft. Thank you so much for supporting
Thank you.
Us.
Thank you very much. And I want to give a few shout outs also to people here in the chat with us. So we have Michael, of course, and Eric, and Michael Disney Dad 98. Also have happy birthday to Janice. It's, I guess she's turning 40. And Rodney is here with us as well. So I know there's some others who were here with us earlier as well. So thank you for joining us live.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out. And it, as Matt shared earlier, we are hard at work on our summer issue. It's coming up very, very soon. So if you want to get your hands on that, you can either purchase a subscription or pick up the issue standalone once it's available at attractionsmagazine.com/store. But there's also a digital subscription option if you prefer to have your goods on a screen and not in paper form.
And then, like you said, we give shout outs here on the show for Club and VIP. You also get your name listed in the magazine. So when the summer issue comes out, your name will be right there on one of the pages. And then another cool thing with the Club and VIP levels is you get to read all of our back issues, all 14 years of back issues. So you can go back and read about Stitch's supersonic celebration when it opened and was very short-lived in the Magic Kingdom and other cool things. It's always fun to go back and read about, you know, old news of some, oh, there's rumors that a new Toy Story attraction is coming, but we don't know what it is yet. So,
oh, fun. just wait until we really ramp up with Horror Nights speculation.
Yeah.
That's always a good time. And since Seth is not here this week, I will plead my case to you. Please go to Apple Podcasts, go to the Attractions Podcast page, and give us a 5-star review and rating. Please say nice things, because something happens with the magic of the internet, and the algorithm will push us to other theme park fans so they can come and hang out with us as well. It really helps us out. I don't know how it works, but I know it helps. So. Yep.
And if you don't listen on iTunes, if you listen somewhere else, most of the services have a rating system, Google Play and all those others. So if you can, we appreciate it.
And if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
Yeah, don't tell me how bad I was at filling in for Seth, because I already know that.
If you want to tweet at Matt your thoughts on his performance, where can they find you on socials?
I'm on Twitter at Matt Boom and on Instagram at Attractions Matt. And then, of course, we have Attractions, at Attractions on Twitter, at Attractions Magazine everywhere else, YouTube, Instagram. We're on Snapchat, actually. We hardly use it, but we're still there at Attractions Mag. And then follow us on TikTok as well. Our employee Theron does a really good job keeping up our TikTok. I don't know much about TikTok, so I let him handle it. But
that's for the Zoomers.
I think our name on TikTok is just at Attractions as well. So find us there.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of the meme-ier ones that Theron has done, and they're very funny. So definitely check that out if TikTok is your thing. And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, get vaccinated if you haven't already, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.